Matthew chapter 2, and this is God's word for us this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Amen. This is God's word for us this morning. Christmas is such a happy time of year, or at least it's meant to be. Joy to the world. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Hark, the herald angels sing. Santa Claus is coming to town. I'll be home for Christmas. Jingle bell rock. There are presents under the tree. Turkey in the oven. Family on their way. Of course, there's the inevitable. "I don't like that jumper. Does Granny not know what to buy me yet?" I've eaten too much. Or there's the "I just hate family squabbles." But all in all, we view Christmas as a joyful and happy celebration. Even in church, we talk of the wonder of the virgin birth, the fulfillment of the prophecy as the Messiah comes, the excitement of some shepherds and the worship of some wise men. We smile and we long for more. We look forward to Christ's second advent. And we've thought some of all of that this Christmas already, haven't we? We're considering the theme, "Do you see what I see?" And we've already thought on Isaiah's eyes of anticipation as he looked forward to the coming Saviour of the world and the salvation he would bring. We rejoiced with Zechariah as he saw through eyes of longing, and the birth of John, the forerunner to the Christ, was there before us. We also noticed that there are sometimes eyes of doubt.
And we looked at Joseph and the news he received. But it all worked out well in the end as he came to see that God was at work in his and Mary's life. Everything seems happy. But then you remember that not everyone's happy at Christmas. We had our first Christmas film on in the manse on Friday evening. Ebenezer Scrooge with his bah humbug. We think of the Grinch, the one who stole Christmas. The poor fellow who'd prefer that the whole thing just went away. And so it is in the biblical account of that first Advent as well, that not everyone is happy. Not everyone is looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. And I guess one of the forgotten characters of the Christmas story to a large extent is King Herod. Oh, we know that he tried to kill the baby Jesus, but we don't tend to think too much on that. We tend to relegate it to the side and leave it there. Well, this morning I want us to consider him for a little while as we look through eyes of anger. And I've deliberately put this into our Advent series because there are those in the world today who still look at Jesus through eyes of anger. They don't get it. They're offended by Jesus. They don't look for the truth, or for some they see the truth, but it offends them. People are offended by Jesus. They were at his birth. They were during his earthly reign, life on earth. And they're still offended by him today. I hope that's not you. But my prayer this morning is that you would listen carefully today and not just put up the shutters and blank it all out. And if you know people like this, then I hope you take some encouragement to keep praying for them and reaching out to them. As we begin reading Matthew chapter 2, we discover the time period in which Jesus was born. It says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east, came to Jerusalem. Herod's on the throne. Far from being a humble individual, Herod is known as Herod the Great. He had designs on power from a very young age. Herod was half Jew, he was half Edomite, being a partial descendant of the Edomites who lived in the southeast region of Israel. Herod was the son of Antipater, who the Romans had appointed as governor over Jerusalem and Judea. You'll well remember that by this stage the Romans were increasing their hold on the world. They were trying to advance into other lands. They set up tribune kings in the lands that they went into. Well, young Herod saw an opportunity and he tried to play up to the Romans. He was appointed tetrarch, that is ruler of Galilee, but he wanted more. One little region wasn't enough for him. Well, if you go through the history books, you'll find that Palestine was invaded by the Parthians in 40 BC. Don't worry, I'm getting somewhere this morning, okay? It's just about a background for us. Herod's brother, Phasael, was killed. He himself had to flee for his life to Rome. And when he was in Rome, he tried to convince the Romans that he could deal with these troublemakers. That if he was given more power, if he was given an army under his control, he could take control again in that area. And it was that time that he was given that army, and he was given the title King of the Jews, a title that he maintained until he died. Well, after 3 years, Herod finally managed to gain the authority that had been promised and truly become the King of the Jews. But this wasn't a title that the Jews liked. They hated it, in fact, because Herod wasn't a Jew by birth. He wasn't a Jew by religion. And I say all of this to set the background, to help us understand that Herod is a man who longed for power, who did everything that he possibly could to gain as much power as he now had. And as we see him this morning, we see through his eyes of anger. Herod is troubled. It's been some months now since Jesus has been born, and the Magi have now arrived in Bethlehem. These men are astronomers. They're regarded as wise in the land that they come from. They've seen a new star. They are following it. They arrive at the palace and we see there that they ask, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The star has signified the arrival of a new king, the King of the Jews. the natural place for the wise men to stop on their journey is naturally the palace. Well, this sets Herod in a bit of a tizzy. In verse 3, we read that when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod has taken quite some time to land this plum job. He's in with the Romans. He's been overseeing the province for some years now. He's not about to give it up, at least not without a fight. People coming to Jerusalem in search of a new king. Moreover, people coming to worship another ruler. You can only imagine Herod's response. He's disturbed and he's troubled. The word disturbed means to shake violently. It means to be stirred up. It means to be agitated. And no wonder. Herod has subdued all of his enemies. He's killed all of his foes. Now it seems there's another one to add to the list. Herod is troubled and he's shocked. In reality, it shouldn't have been that shocking for him. Herod's been in Judea for some time now. He's resided in Jerusalem. He was not a particularly religious man. Oh, he would gladly give a little bit of money to help them rebuild the temple, but that's about as far as it went. Herod knew the Jews were looking for a Messiah, the one God would send to save them and to reign as king. And as he hears this request from these powerful wise men, he recognizes that this child who has been born could be that Messiah. And it disturbs him. He's so troubled, he calls together the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He's desperate to find out exactly where this Christ was to be born. You know, it's interesting that he asks specifically where the Christ was to be born. He knows this king these men are asking about is the promised Messiah. All they've said is, where is the king of the Jews? Herod knows that this is the Messiah who was promised. He knows trouble beckons. And of course, these learned religious men are able to tell him exactly where it is. They quote from the prophet Micah. They point them in the direction of Bethlehem. You know what I find really interesting here? Herod is troubled. And it says that all of Jerusalem was as well. You know, I get Herod being troubled. He fears for his life. He fears for his position. But why all of the people? You know, I think they're troubled because Herod is. A grumpy, troubled leader is a risk to all of them. You know what that's like in the workplace, don't you? That grumpy, old boss. And you know that if you keep him happy, then your life is so much easier. Whereas if he's grumpy, then your life's going to be a little bit of a struggle at work as well. I hope you don't have a grumpy boss. Maybe you do. The people are troubled. But you know, I think these folks shouldn't be as troubled as they are. These are the religious leaders of the day. They surely know this is the promised Messiah who has been born, and yet they're indifferent. We don't read of them all rushing to Bethlehem to see the baby. How sad that these religious leaders are missing the very thing that they have longed for so long. I wonder, where do you fit so far? Are you troubled because someone threatens your position? Are you troubled because the news of Jesus challenges your behaviour and your lifestyle? We are faced with our sinfulness in light of Jesus, his birth, his death and resurrection, and that troubles us. And sometimes we respond like Herod with anger and antagonism. Or are you indifferent? Are you missing what this birth really means? Do you hear all this talk of a saviour and you simply shrug your shoulders and walk on by? I urge you today to consider where you are and what all of this means. Don't be troubled. And with eyes of anger at the trouble that could come his way, we see Herod respond in a bit of a devious way next. For we see that Herod is not only troubled, but he's also tricky. Herod uses scripture, first of all, for his own ends. He doesn't read the Bible to find out what God says and about God's ways. He simply wants to know where the Messiah is so that he can get to him. Herod asked a question about his birthplace. Not really because he wanted to know where the Christ was born so that he could go and worship him, but so that he might use that information for his own devious ends. And I never cease to be amazed how many people seek certain information from the Bible to be used for their own ends rather than to be used in the manner that God has designed it. And that is simply not right. Herod inquired of God's word to use it sinfully against the will of God. The Bible is not to be approached like this, friends. It is to be approached with a sense of sacredness, a sense of awe, with a response of obedience. Well, tricky Herod then decides to use that information to send the wise men on their way so they can find the exact location and report back to him with the answer. He calls them back in verse 7, we see, and he quizzes them some more. And though Herod's first meeting with the priests and with the scribes was public, the second meeting was done in secret. And it was done in secret because Herod had a sly plan in mind, and another public meeting might just arouse suspicion. Very subtly, he chose not to ask how old the child was, but rather he begins to ask the wise men when they first saw the star. And his false interest in the star conceals his real interest in finding the age of the baby so that he might get to him and kill him. This guy was so clever that these wise men were completely unaware of his real intentions at that moment. And so he sends them on their way. Verse 8, go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. The wise men had no reason to suspect Herod's motives. They didn't know of his trickery. Now we might ask ourselves why Herod sent these wise men and not his own army. Surely he knew, if he knew that Bethlehem was the place, then why not send his army? But that would have drawn so much attention. He wanted to do something secretly if he could, and the time for the soldiers would come. And why did he not go himself? Why did Herod the king not go himself? Surely that would have been the simple and straightforward option. But he didn't go, because I think he didn't want to come face to face with the king sent from heaven. That would be too much for him. He would be forced to make a decision. At all costs, he wanted to avoid that. So he didn't go, and he didn't send his soldiers. He sent the wise men. And isn't that how we react in life and many like us? We avoid speaking of Jesus. We avoid reading our Bibles. We avoid coming to church because we don't want to face up to him. If we come face to face with him, if we hear his teaching, then we're faced with a choice. We have a choice to respond to Jesus and his message. And quite simply, many do not want to do that. You know, I've seen people avoid meeting up with me because they know that I'll talk of our Saviour and they'll be faced with a choice. I've seen people drop out of courses that we do because they're scared of coming face to face with Jesus and having to choose. I've seen people stop coming to church because they cannot face hearing the truth. People will avoid at all costs. And Herod avoids going himself. He's a tricky character. And he sends these magi on their way. And it's at this point we see the wise men pick up the trail of the star again. And they follow it right to the place where Jesus is born, where Jesus now is with his family. And they get out their gifts. They bend the knee. They worship Jesus. And isn't it interesting to see those various responses? Herod was hostile. The religious leaders were indifferent. But these wise men were filled with worship. They knew who this was before them. And their gifts showed that. And we'll think some more of their gifts on Christmas Eve together. God intervenes now. But we get to see another side of Herod. Not only is he troubled, not only is he tricky, but he's also just a little bit treacherous. The wise men are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they head home via an alternative route. God protects these magi and then he protects the Saviour's family. Joseph has another angelic dream. Becoming a bit of a habit for Joseph, isn't it? The angel says to him in verse 13, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Herod wants rid of the threat. The secret's out. Joseph knows what Herod's up to. Herod was troubled by the news of the king. He was tricky in trying to find out the exact age and location of the new king. And now we see his treachery as he seeks to kill the child. He sees the threat. He wants to neutralize it. But God's in control. His plans and purposes are coming to bear in his time. For you know, in this escape to Egypt, we see fulfillment of prophecy. Go and read Hosea chapter 11. We see more of it coming from Jeremiah 31 as we see there that there's great weeping throughout the vicinity of Bethlehem. We discover in verse 16 that when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. He wants rid of the threat. He wants rid of the threat. He will do whatever it takes to keep his position and his lifestyle. He will do whatever it takes to keep things as they were. He doesn't want change. Herod's out of his mind with rage, with frustration, with fear and with pain. He's insanely jealous. He is nearly insane. He's a bloody colour by nature. All the worst instincts of a lifetime of cruelty now come to the surface. Why do I say that? Well, we need to go back to the history books again. And you can do your own research on that to see if what I'm telling you is right this morning. But go back through them. Herod is guilty of killing others before this time. He killed his own brother-in-law. Aristobulus was accidentally, inverted commas as we would say these days, he was accidentally drowned while swimming in the Jordan River with some of Herod's servants. Why? He was guilty of winning the favour of the people. Herod killed his own father-in-law because Herod viewed him as a threat. He even killed his own wife, Mariamne, and also her mother, Alexandra. And because he was afraid that his two sons by Mariamne might take his throne, guess what? He slaughtered his own sons. And then 5 days before his death, later on, he ordered a third son executed. Herod had a lust for power. He had a suspicion for others. He had an insane eagerness to avenge himself that enslaved the man all the days of his life. And this treacherous king sees through eyes of anger God's plan for the world, and he decides that he wants to kill the Messiah, but it fails. And we read in time to come that Herod died. His treachery got him in the very end, and he died a slow, painful death. Josephus, the early church, early historical writer, says that when Herod died, it's a bit disgusting this, but actually, when Herod died, maggots had eaten away at parts of his body. He died in agony, insane, tormented, delirious. In all of this, we discover the eyes of anger nearly always end up with someone being tragically lost. Herod was so caught up in his position and his power that he failed to respond appropriately to the Messiah. He was offended that another king would arise from among the people. He was hostile to this apparent potential takeover. Instead of allowing news of the promised Messiah to turn his heart toward God, he was troubled and he was distressed. He did all that he could to find out where the baby was so that he could kill him. We saw that he was a tricky character as he sought counsel from the religious leaders and then the help and support of the Magi. And then when he realized that he'd been outwitted, we saw his treacherous side. He killed all the male babies under 2 years old. You know, Herod stands as a symbol for the kind of world that Jesus came into. He represents the world's welcoming committee for the Son of God. It's not the way we think it should be, is it? Jesus is born and the rulers try to kill him. And yet the Bible tells us in John 1 and verse 11, we read it earlier, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him. Herod stands for the bloodthirsty, the cruel, vindictive side of our world system, a world where human life is cheap, a world where killing is accepted and even sometimes expected, a world where people are tragically lost. Herod may have died, but his spirit lives on. People are still offended by Jesus Christ. People are still hostile to Christians today. They want us out of their schools. They want us Christmas removed from the dictionary. They want us out of the very public eye. Jesus offends them. What he did offends them. And yet we know, because the Bible teaches us, that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. They simply do not get it. Friend, I hope you are not tragically lost. I hope as your heart is troubled by news of the Messiah that you don't turn away from him, but rather that you turn to him this morning. You can be saved. That's the message of Christmas. God sent his own gift of love to the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Messiah was born as a babe and laid to sleep in the manger. He grew to become the Saviour of the world. That is the Christmas message. Let's look with those eyes of longing. Let's look with those eyes of anticipation. Let's get rid of the eyes of doubt. Let's not have eyes of anger. And may we begin to be like the wise men. May we come to see with eyes of worship. I hope that you're not like the religious leaders who seemed indifferent to the news of the Messiah's birth. Don't shrug your shoulders and walk on by. Listen in and think carefully about these words in the Christmas message. And I hope and pray that each of us might see what the wise men saw. They saw the promised Messiah and they bent the knee. And they worshipped Jesus. May we see the truth and believe in the Christ of Christmas this year. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We admit at times that it doesn't always sit easy and comfortably. But Lord, we thank you for it nonetheless. We thank you for the lessons that we learn as we look at the reign of a man called Herod, as we look at his life and how he responded to the coming Messiah. Lord, we see the way that so many in the world still react today. So Lord, we pray for our lost world. We pray that this Christmas they might be found bending the knee and worshipping the Saviour. Lord, we pray that for folks here today who don't know you, Jesus Christ yet is their own Lord and Saviour. We pray that today for folks in this community all around the church who are tragically lost, Lord, we pray that they might see beyond the tinsel and the wrapping paper of Christmas and that they might see the Messiah. Father God, may they not be indifferent. May they not be offended. May they not be troubled. But may they see what the wise men saw. May they see the Saviour of the world and bend the knee and worship him. Father God, would you help us to do that this Christmas? Would you help us to rise from our lethargy? Would you help us to know the truth beyond the shadow of a doubt? And would you help us to reach out to those who are lost that they might be found, that they might see the truth, and that the truth might set them free? Father God, give us the strength and the courage to share the real Christmas message with others, that they too might know. And may we, like the angels, sing songs of praise and worship and adoration. Father God, we thank you for your word. Help it to set on our minds to work its way through to our hearts in these coming days. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we